You know Chateau Lynch-Barge and the Cazes family very well. You have also translated two books for them, Lynch-Barge's and Co. and Jean-Michel Caz's book Bordeaux Grand Cru, The Reconquest. If you had to describe their philosophy, what would it be in your view?
I think there is a closeness to the appellation of Pauillac and to their own vineyard, which has grown over many decades, of actually living on site, being present, right from the beginning of their ownership of Lynch-Barge's, which is quite unusual. There are other 1855 estates that have families living on site, but they are in the minority, those that truly live as part of the community. Because André Cazes was mayor of Pauillac for 40 years, and also because they had started an insurance business, they knew the people of the area in a different way. They have generally had a long-term relationship with the people of the area. I think it gives them a closeness and a love for Pauillac, which you feel in the wines. That is very important. And I really appreciate that even today, when wine is worth so much more and sold for much more per bottle, they still have the feeling that this is a family estate and that they care about what they produce.
The Cazes family is characterized by a rationalist approach to their profession. Do you find, as I do, that this is one of their strengths?
Yes, I do agree. And that goes back to the fact that the properties are not just an investment, but a place where they live, and a place where they are very anchored. It helps them not just to manage, but to care. They care about the people who buy the wine. There is a connection between the family and the people they make the wine for. It is grounded. If you think about estates like that, Léoville Barton has that feeling as well. It is a feeling that you can trust the people who are making the wine. In difficult times like now, that makes a big difference.
Jean-Michel Cazes was the driving force behind this approach in Bordeaux.
Yes. And Jean-Michel was one of the first who opened the doors of his properties to let people come. And one of the reasons they created Cordillon Barges was because he so often had people coming over for lunch that, in the end, his wife said, "Can you please open some small guest house? Somewhere to put them all?" The interesting thing about Jean-Michel is that he didn't rely only on La Place de Bordeaux to promote his wines. He got on planes and met people and shook their hands and did the job, which many other regions did naturally, but Bordeaux had not really done. Bordeaux had some figures in history who did that, like Arnaud de Pontac, former owner of Aubryon, who sent his son to London in 1660. So you did have some figures in history, but not many. I would really put Jean-Michel Cazes in that same line as Arnaud de Pontac, like some other figures, such as Alain de Lonquesang and Baron Philippe de Rothschild in the 20th century, who had a vision that the fine wine market is emotional. Why do people spend a lot of money on wine? Because they have a feeling and an emotion about it. You don't get emotion from just a phone call. You get emotion from sitting next to somebody, sharing a bottle around the table. And that makes the difference. It is history, emotion, and of course, the quality in the bottle. But it goes way beyond that. Today, in economically hard times, people realize they can't rely on someone else doing the job. They have to do it themselves. The chateaux that are doing the best in this current downturn are those who give people a reason to want to keep buying their wines. The Cathyards are a good example as well. They have a face. You fall in love with their love story at Smith Haut Lafite.
The role of the negotiant remains important.
Yes, even extremely important, as it always was. There is probably nobody better in the whole commercial world for logistics and for having knowledge of all the different layers of the market. They have the ability to be extremely reactive. This market is not doing very well, but we know, because we have been there, that this market is doing better. This ability to be connected through networks is still extremely important. Chateau. In the last 15 years, when markets have been so strong, especially in China, perhaps forgot how important that capillarity system is. But it has to be a partnership with their first client, which is the negotiant. It is for sure a delicate dance. But this partnership is the strength of La Place.
In your view, Is Lynch Beiges the greatest brand in Bordeaux?
Bordeaux is a great region with peaks of excellence in every appellation. That is the real force of Bordeaux. And there is no question that Lynch Beiges counts among these great brands, right up there in the same breath as the First Growths.
Do you think Lynch Beiges has gained in precision since the wine has been vinified in the new 21st century cellar?
Not just thanks to the new cellar. I would say that from 2009/2010, you could already feel that there was much more precision in the wines. They started to do a lot more in the vineyards, more high-tech sorting methods, also using more GPS to work out where they should be treating the vines. You could already notice a difference. They increased selection and the amount of second wine. You could tell, like with the 2014 we tasted, that one of the reasons it is so good for me is due to the new processes they were focusing on. When you get to 2020, the first vintage vinified in the new cellar, there is another jump up.
How does this jump up translate into the wines?
I would say that sometimes now the wine feels more muscular when it is young. It is really interesting what Jean-Charles was saying about his grandfather, that he always waited a week after Latour to start the harvest. The wine had a kind of generosity in the past. Sometimes now, in the more recent years, the wine has a real Powillac style as well. It does have the shoulders. It has that real gravity and licorice notes. It always had it in one way, but there is more precision in the wine today.
Jean-Charles said that Lynch Beiges has more drinkability at a younger stage.
For me, not necessarily for Lynch Beiges itself. I think Lynch Beiges will still age exactly as it always has, and I think it is a serious wine in many vintages. But what is interesting is that you have much more precision in Echo de Lynch Beiges and Les Ormes de Pez than before, and also now in Verso de Haute Bataille and Haute Bataille. I think it is very clear that you can drink Verso, and probably Haute Bataille, earlier than Lynch Beiges. Ormes de Pez is such a beautiful wine to have in that range, because you can drink it immediately and it can also age. My perception is that it is clearer today than it was in the past to see which wine in the range works for each situation.
It was also very interesting that Jean-Charles said during the tasting that they want to keep Haute Bataille as a fifth classified growth and that they don't want to change any surface that they could add to Lynch Beiges.
Yes, indeed. It must be very tempting to do this. All that newly planted land, they could put straight into Lynch Beiges. I am actually really impressed by them for having made the decision not to do that. But it goes back to showing how considered their approach is, really thinking about what will work with the markets, and also what works with the personality of those different wines.
What is your general impression of the wines of Domaines Familiales Cazes? Do you think there is a Cazes style?
There is that combination of generosity and welcome with precision, and very much a consciousness of appellation character, which I love. I appreciate when a wine tastes of where it comes from. Lynch Beiges particularly, like the 2014, is very Powillac. Haute Bataille is less of a classic Powillac than Lynch Beiges, but I really enjoy it as well. As Jean-Charles said, it is more of a Saint-Julien style than Powillac, because it is a little bit lighter and more approachable. That is the real signature of the Cazes family. They are happy and proud to represent the signature of their appellations.
This is also the case for Les Ormes de Pez.
Yes, which is old school in a beautiful way. It is a lovely contemporary idea of what old school is, because it is appealing as well. This wine is in the top five values of Bordeaux. It is incredibly consistent, delicious, and a great price for what you get. The wines of the Cazes family always have an ease. They have a sense of place. There is no reason why people couldn't understand them.
The first wine we tasted was Verso de Haute Bataille 2020. Interesting that Jean-Charles said for this vintage the young wines were not yet in production. It is the second selection from the historical vineyard of Haute Bataille. What do you think about the wine?
Verso is the wine where, at this stage, you feel it is the least consistent of the whole range. This is one of the wines in the range where you can feel that the full process is going on.
There is still a way to go.
Exactly. For Haute Bataille itself, I see a signature where it is, and that idea of a slightly sculpted, lighter style. And you taste it. You can't miss that in the glass. It is obviously different from Lynch Bages. For Verso, I don't yet know exactly what I am getting, as I do with the other ones.
We have tasted Haute Bataille 2018, a warm and sunny vintage.
I did like it, but Haute Bataille is better today. I really see the differences, and 2018 was only the second year that the family owned Haute Bataille. Today, I really see the evolution of what the family does at Haute Bataille.
In what way do you notice this evolution?
The 2018 wasn't really one of Poillac. That Haute Bataille was more of a 2018 style, whereas I think today, the wine is a more sculpted version of Poillac. I have felt that ever since the 2020 vintage. It didn't take long. I really have a sense of its personality in my head.
Haute Bataille will certainly have a bright future. What about the next wine we taste, Les Ormes de Pez 2020?
I have so much admiration for what they do at Les Ormes de Pez. It is a wine I like. I buy it for myself and like to share it with friends. It is a wine I am always looking forward to tasting. And that is a good sign because I taste the wine regularly and always happy to see in a lineup.
For Lynch Bages 2014, you wrote that it is the wine of the year, but you said during the tasting also that it is not always the greatest wine.
It means that it is the wine that surprised me the most. It is a wine I want to draw the attention of my subscribers to say, don't bypass this wine. This is a wine to seek out and to buy. I like not to just post only the 100-point wines of the most recent vintages. I prefer much more to show people. This is a truly brilliant wine that you might forget about, or you might never have seen at the time. That is what I think about this 2014. I tasted the wine in a vertical blind tasting with the people from Lynch Bages. All of us, including the winemaker of Lynch Bages and Jean Charles, thought it was a 2016. That's why it is so good.
That is one of the great strengths of Lynch Bages, that you are never disappointed by the wine.
Yes, exactly. We are lucky to have some estates like Lynch Bages in Bordeaux, which keep the faith. People might have the feeling of being disenchanted by Bordeaux, which may happen. But there are certain wines, like Lynch Bages, which help people stay engaged with Bordeaux. This 2014 is so Poillac, and it is a classic Lynch Bages at the same time.
The next wine was Lynch Bages 2019. Jean Charles said something wonderful about this vintage. First of all, he said that the Union des Grands Crus did a wonderful job sending out all the cask samples to journalists and buyers all around the world, which was extremely difficult during the lockdown due to COVID. And secondly, that Malou, Le Sommer, former general manager, and he were almost emotionally affected that the response of the market was so positive.
I was the only wine critic at that time, working for Decanter, based in Bordeaux full-time and able to taste all the wines. We at Decanter were very lucky because we published a wider selection of imprimeur notes. The other critics had only the top wines. I have a very clear memory of sitting in my kitchen, tasting everything, getting the deliveries in the garage. It is a great vintage of great value. I think 2020 is slightly more consistent as a vintage and slightly more concentrated. Overall, 2020 is better than 2019, but I think 2019 is extremely well balanced and a delicious vintage. You don't need a long time to drink it.
The last wine, Blanc de Lynch Beige 2024.
Lynch Beige Blanc is one of the first steps when Jean-Charles came back and joined his father. He imprinted his own vision of what he wanted to do. He conducted all the work, like temperature control for each of the barrels. He really did a lot of work designing how he wanted that wine to be and changing the profile from how it was before he arrived. I think he did a fabulous job. You can find it in this 2024, which is really delicious.
In what way has Lynch Beige Blanc changed since Jean-Charles put those changes in place?
This is all about precision. It has the right amount of freshness without losing all the grip in a white wine. He and the team, with Nicolas Leben, turned that wine into one of the great white wines of Bordeaux. And there are not that many, just a handful that really stand out and are really interesting. Lynch Beige Blanc is operating with Y. Dichem, Pavillon Blanc, and obviously the two Haute-Brion whites and Loeffler white wine. There aren't that many that you can truly say it is a Bordeaux Blanc, which competes with the great wines of Burgundy, of the Loire, and other great French white wines. Lynch Beige Blanc is really impressive.
It was in May 2022 that I had a talk with you about you and your website Inside Bordeaux. Now, almost 4 years later, are you satisfied with this step you have taken?
Yes. It was September 2021 when I launched Inside Bordeaux, and it is certainly the best thing I have done in my career. I thought it was the right moment to do it and that I had the depth of knowledge you need for this kind of website. And there wasn't a site like this. I have been very conscious to make it not just about scores. I don't do it alone. Sarah Kemp has joined me. I love doing the podcasts with Wine Searcher, the Wine Voices. Hundreds of thousands of people get that newsletter every week. It widens my reach, and it also cements my name with Bordeaux even more. That is what I need, because that's what my website is all about. If you start talking about Bordeaux, who should you go to? You should come to my site. That is the point of it. It is good to go deep in one area.
If you go so deep in one area, which I think is your strength, is it difficult to keep your independence?
I was a journalist for 10 years before becoming a wine journalist. The idea of independence is deeply ingrained in how I approach things. I think the more you taste in an area, the more you see what works or doesn't work there. It would be impossible to be universally positive about everything when you go so deep. A, it wouldn't be interesting, and B, it would be too obvious. I think it is almost easier to be truly independent if you know the place very well.
What is the most difficult part of your work?
I always try to think about what is most helpful for my subscribers, what they really get a benefit from. It is difficult to constantly be sure you are delivering what is most useful for people. For that, it is great to get feedback from my subscribers. Also, the media is changing so much. The wine world is changing so much. So all websites with payrolls have to think about what people will pay for, because so much is available via AI. You ask ChatGPT, and it will tell you so many things. Luckily, I benefit from my journalist background. I was never thinking, I am just giving 3 points that people can summarize in 1 second, which is a lot of click-based content. Getting a simple answer quickly. There is no point doing that now, because that is giving you trivia without any depth. You have to think, why can I be different and go deep in giving actual context? It is finding the things. It is basic old journalist work, which was the same for Jean-Michel Cazes when he was going out in the 70s, doing the basic job, putting in the time, not taking the easy way. That is what I do, hopefully naturally, but it takes time. And we are now creating number 5 of the Mentors Week. We won the award last year for the best education and knowledge sharing from Vinexposium. That's quite a boost, and it gives me so much. I just love spending a week with these brilliant young people from all over the world.
It must be inspiring as well.
Yes, indeed. It is amazing. And there is also Connoisseur Week. The idea, I instinctively felt the way to approach the market was through experiences. What Bordeaux needs. It needs people to feel closer, an emotional link. Connoisseur Week is very helpful for that. I do it with Sarah Kemp, and it is very enjoyable. Every link of the chain is leaving the next link to do the work with the final consumer. Today, the difference is that everyone at Laplace is realizing it. Somebody has to fall in love with those wines. That is what has to happen at the end of the day, and having faces like the Cases family makes all the difference.